ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am the host of the show, and I'm super excited to be here with you all today. Today, we have the amazing Moshe Engelberg back with us in Conversations with Moshe. As you know, Moshe is a speaker and an executive coach and the author of The Amari Wave, which is an awesome book about bringing love back into business. But today's topic, we're going to focus into trust your process in big, bold letters. And this topic, I think, is important because I don't think we look enough at the underpinnings of what trust is about, meaning the things that keep us from trusting ourselves when we are the creator of our reality, when we are who we are, this magnificent being that we don't trust. We don't trust our own experience, and we don't trust our process. And so today, Moshe and I want to dive into that and hopefully give you some insight into what it is that may keep you from trusting in your process and trusting who you are. So it's going to be a great conversation. I'm looking forward to having the conversation. Before we begin, I'd love for you to be out there, depending on where you are. If you're on E360 TV watching, thank you for being here. Appreciate you supporting the network. It's a great network with a great lineup of shows. If you're on YouTube or Facebook Live, thanks again for being here. But please make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, share the window, share it with the people that you know and love, because that's what we're here for. We want to share as much of our adventures as possible. So if you can share it with us, that would be great. You can also see us on where else? E360, YouTube, everywhere. Go see us. But I so much appreciate you guys who are out there, that are watching and listening. Get ready for a great show, because we're going to have a good one. And we will be back right after this. Once I find the right button, always. All right. I am super excited, guys. Starting tomorrow, I believe, is the Activate Your Evolution Retreat. I'm sorry, I'm looking for my button here. And there it is. All right. Activate Your Evolution. I am so excited about this retreat. I'm going to be presenting at this retreat. We're going to be looking at ways to help shift state as a way of transforming fear. There's going to be some amazing presenters at this process. The Activate Your Evolution is all about stimulating all kinds of amazing things in us and getting us into really dialed into our own evolution and awakening. I know Jules and Jennifer have an amazing lineup of presenters each day during the session, and we'll be having giveaways, and we'll be doing some great meditations and some really eye-opening and consciousness expanding work. So we hope to see you there. And the other thing about this wonderful virtual event is it's free. So check us out at activateevolution.com. Activateevolution.com is where you can register. It's the 11th, 11/11, Activate Your Evolution. And it'll be for 3 days. We'd love to have you there. Look forward to seeing you there. And we'll be back right after this. All right, guys, here we are. We are getting ready for our conversation with Moshe. Let's bring Moshe in. I did cut things a little short today. We're going to be running a little short today, and that's good. We both have commitments that we need to be getting to in addition to this. So, hi, Moshe. Welcome aboard. Jim. See you. How are you?
You too. Good.
Good.
Glad to be back.
Glad to have you. Here we are getting ready to talk about trusting your process. And we were talking a little bit ahead of time, just briefly. I just did a show recently on loss, which was a pretty intensive experience all the way around, because a lot of amazing insights into that. And we were thinking about this idea of trusting your process and what loss has to do with it. So we're going to get into that a little bit later on. We're going to talk about, largely, I think I want to focus into, let's look at the concept of trust within our own process and within our own lives, and then let's look at the things that are underpinning it that may be that we don't recognize are the reasons that we're not trusting who we are and trusting the process that we're in. It seems to me in my own experience that this has been, or this continues to be, a consistently challenging place for people, because somehow we have decided that we can't trust ourselves because of the power we've given to everything outside of ourselves, to whatever greater or lesser degree that is. And I was thinking about this also, Moshe, in terms of each of us navigating our own process and how cool it is that we can reach, you know, because we're friends outside of this environment, and that we spend time talking about our own process and our own evolution, and that we can see in each other how the trust works. That, yeah, sometimes you're confronted by difficult truths, or sometimes you have to look at something, a behavior or a belief system that we've held on for a long time. But because of the underlying trust in the process, there is a willingness there that you just kind of stop and go, okay, you know, and you just take it in. And, you know, one of the things, Moshe, we'll talk and he'll say, okay, I'm full. Can't take any more right now. You know,
great.
And so we get to just trust that, and then we take that into our own experience and stay in that state of trust to let the process unfold naturally, because what we realize is there's nothing to be afraid of, absolutely nothing to be afraid of. So give us a little intro, Moshe, if you want to, or your thoughts about what I've said so far as diving into this whole idea of trusting your process.
Yeah, I love this topic. And I think trust is really critical to how we move through life. If it's fear-based, if it's rooted in love, if it's some variation. And it does get murky sometimes, in my experience, in my own life and coaching and working with others, where on one hand, we talk a lot about surrendering, we're not really in control, quit trying to overmanage things, let the universe do its thing. And on the other hand, on the other extreme, we're taught to say, okay, manage your life, make good decisions, be responsible, and so on. When you and I talked before, you mentioned co-creation. That's really a marriage of the two.
Yeah.
But that tension between trust and control, I think, is really important.
Yeah, that's a really great starting point to look at where we put our attention. And what I mean is that when you talk about control, that is the imminent expression of lack of trust to me. Control is ultimately the experience of, I don't trust anything or anyone except my ability to do. And if I can do, then my world is good. And it is an approach. And again, it's not about judgment of what's right and what's wrong. This is about illuminating things so that you can see them from a different perspective. And while control can be a valuable tool for a period of time or for a moment, ultimately, I don't feel like it doesn't build trust, for sure. It builds, and to me, it kind of builds an inflated idea of who I am, because I can control a physical environment, but that person is not connected to the who I really am. Does that make sense?
It does.
It's a connection to a very limited focus. And so, yeah, you can accomplish through that. Yeah, you can. But is that about trusting your process, or is it about forcing your will? you know, I guess is where I'm going with that.
Yeah, that's a good distinction. What if we make it very concrete with an example like driving?
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm driving, I need to, quote unquote, be in control in terms of managing where I'm going, when I step on the gas, when I brake, noticing other drivers, and so on. So there's an aspect of control, or at least management.
And different, yet, again, but a good point that you make, that's a very different experience, but go ahead, we'll go back to that.
Yes. And the things I can't influence the weather, for example. I don't know when the light's going to turn green or red and so on. So there's things that are controlled by other forces. And then there's the notion of the universe. Is there going to be an avalanche and a rock slide? And who knows? So, yeah, to me, maybe that's a good place to make this very concrete. What do you say?
Yeah, so it's a good example. And interestingly enough, I have a very different experience of driving. While I do have an element of control that exists that I still tend to deal with, for me, driving is about my ability to respond. So it is knowing where my energy is and what I'm doing in the context of driving and being attentive to that in the context of driving. So if I'm driving, I know in responsibility that I need to be in relationship with my environment. Which is not necessarily about being on my phone. It's not necessarily about focusing on other things, but that happens, right? We all have those experiences. But to me, it's a lot less about control. It's about being able to respond, because we don't have control over what's happening around us, whether it's other cars, whether it's bikers, whether it's people, whether it's stoplights. But what we do have the ability to manage is how we respond to it and being in attention to it. So that to me reflects another level of trust in my own process, because I'm not worried about what they're doing. I'm focused on what I'm doing and being aware of what they're doing.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the place that I go haywire is when I want to control them.
I remember stories about that.
No, that's where I go left of center. Is I'll be out there in my groove, right? I'm in my zone. I'm good. I'm being aware. And the people around me don't have awareness. The people around me are controlling their driving experience. So they're in fear. They're in stop and start. They're in stopping in yield spots. They're in doing things that are all about thinking their way through the process instead of being a part of the driving process. And again, that's my lovely story of judgment about how I can go ahead and judge these people about how they're driving. But
yes,
but that's where I go left again. That's where I go left. I that's where sometimes I get pulled off of my center. But the great news about that is that for years that was a big deal, and now it's not so much a big deal anymore, and I can rein it in instantly rather than realizing that I've been raging for the last hour and a half and not paying attention to it. And bear in mind, when I say raging, I mean more just like I don't get into road rage. I just get in, you know, I have moments with myself, but we needn't digress here. So the driving thing is a really good example of how you can assess where you're at in your trust process. Do I trust my process? Our first question of the day, do I trust my process? What does that look like? It's about everything. You alluded to lots of levels of this. I think I said I wanted, you were talking about the difference between, control and management. Management's a whole different energy to me than control. It can be the same energy, but for me, again, it's a very different energy. If I'm managing my energy, I'm not trying to control it. I'm just being aware of it so I can see what it's doing. And if I'm starting to have a reaction or a response, that I can be in conscious awareness of that and determine if it's something that I want to put in the world, if I want to use that energy. That to me is what being conscious is about. Ultimately, managing your energy. What do you think? So just sort of stop. Boom.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about how it's easy to conflate those two.
It is.
And maybe it's a mindset. So if I think about managing my energy, I'm making choices where my attention is, what I'm focusing on, what I'm thinking about and so on. I could also use the word control. I'm controlling where I put my energy and so on. But maybe that's a nuance that's not really useful. Because I think you're talking about control as, even when I say the word, it's like a tighten up.
Yes, it's a clamping down. It's a
that. Yes.
It's a dialing in. It's that restricted focus. It's I'm controlling this thing. Yeah. There's a difference in the motivation of the energy.
Yeah. Energetically, I can feel the difference even if when I say the words.
I'm the same way. As you're talking, I'm thinking the difference between management and control. Even in the context of business, I see it the same way. As a manager, my job is not to control people. My job is to support people. That's how I manage. I manage my energy, and then I watch the entire picture, because my job is to manage this, whatever this is. If I'm the manager of a restaurant, I'm managing this environment. And within this environment are all of these energies and things and people going on. And in order to manage it, I have to be attentive to the flow of what's happening within that environment in order to respond to it and to attend to the things that are happening. If I'm trying to control the environment, then I'm clamping down on the environment and I'm clamping down on the people. So nobody gets real expression except what I say they can have, and no one can do anything except what I say they can do. And for me as a manager, rules are important, but they are the essence of the environment. So you have to give people a little wiggle room, I think, to express that. So if you want them to be of service, in order to be of service, they have to be them. So I want them to show up. I don't want a robot to show up. I want them to engage the people in a very natural, wonderful, easy way, which is why they were hired, because that's how they impacted me.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I see the difference. Does that help distinguish it a little better?
It does. It does. And it explains the reasoning under when you said control is the opposite of trust.
Yeah. Because control is used to manage when I don't trust that I have power, that I don't trust that I have influence, when I don't trust that I have the ability to step into this environment or step into this experience.
And underneath that, I would imagine, is fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other piece, which I mentioned to you earlier about loss, we are so loss driven in our human experience, and especially in this country in that fashion, that everything is a win-lose dynamic, that it's hard to develop or be in trust if you're living in that model. Because in that model, you are constantly at effect in some way, shape, or form. You are victim too, in some way, shape, or form, if you live in the lost world, if you live in the world that I can lose.
Yeah.
And the other part of this that I think is interesting about the trust process is control makes us attentive only to outcomes and how to get to an outcome. And I think trust is about understanding that the process is as important as the outcome, and that the outcome is really only the mind's way to give us a destination so that the soul can unfold the journey. Because the journey is where all the juice is, really. The journey is where, you know, at least in my experience, it's getting to whatever it is that I want that's so magnificent, because I learn so much, because I grow so much, because I expand into that, because I trust that where it's taking me, because I trust my energy. I'm spinning up, right? We've talked about this a million times. I'm in my pro and I'm spinning up. So I'm diving in and I'm going into this amazing journey, or it doesn't feel good and I'm stopping and I'm stepping back and saying, well, not here. This is the wrong doorway. Let me take a step back and see what I got to figure out here. But ultimately, that unfolding of the journey continues to reinforce the expansion of who I am, my understanding of who I am, and my understanding of who I am in relation to this experience of being human on the planet and engaging in the planet as deeply and powerfully as possible. So there.
Well said.
So we're talking about, do I trust my process? But then I wanted to take it a step further. And that is, answering the question of, do I trust myself? And is there a difference? I'll let you dive into that one first if you'd like. I have an answer, but I'm curious to see where you might go with it. If you have something, if not, I'll dive right in. I'm good either way.
I think at one level there is a difference, and at one there's not. And here's what I mean by that. If I trust myself, that could lead to a reliance, an over-reliance on me. I trust myself, so I'll figure this out. Oh man, it's like, I don't need help from out there. I got this. Versus if I trust the process, that speaks to an interaction with other forces, what some call life, the universe, God, whatever label is. So I think trust myself can be aligned with trust the process, but it can also be limiting where it's more focused on me and an illusion of control.
I like that. I like that distinction. And I think it's an important one, and one I actually hadn't thought of or hadn't really gone down that road about.
What was your answer?
Well, my answer is a bit of a caveat, because to what you said is very true. But then I was listening and I literally had the thought, oh, I should have put, do I trust my capital S self? And and realized, wait a second, that's kind of rigging the game a little bit. Because to your point, when you recognize the co-creative effort that's going on in the process of your life, and you and I talked about this briefly, we were talking about God and the universe and all that kind of stuff. And how does that relate to this idea of trust? Right. That if I trust God, then, you know, everything is going to work out okay. And in, I think the difference for me in that is that I'm not beholden to or waiting for or expecting that the universe is supplying without me showing up. Like, I have to show up. I have to be there. I have to be in energy. I have to be in trust. I have to be in, when I say have to, I mean, from the context of that relationship, of that interaction, of that co-creative process, I'm half of that equation. So if I'm not in the equation, there is no equation. Right. So I got to show up. I got to be a part of that. And so that's where I was going with the capital self. Yeah. But in truth, that's a really good distinction, because if we are mired into or focused into that ego and that will-driven experience, we consider that that's trusting ourselves. But I also want to say that I don't think that that's actually considered trust. And when you go through control as a mechanism for managing yourself, I don't think that builds trust in self, because you become afraid of everything outside of you. You don't allow anything else in. You don't allow anything to support you. That's out of balance. So that's not a trust state. That's a control state. So you've learned to control your environment, and you've learned to control yourself within the context of the environment. But there's no trust built there, because otherwise you wouldn't need that intensive focus necessarily. You would be open to the journey. You would be open to the unfolding, sort of, you know. That's where I see the co-creative thing is so important.
That speaks again to the control, or maybe the other word is reliance. If I rely solely on myself, that means I don't trust the world. I'm not going to let people in. And so there's that energy of tightening, shutting down. And that also means, in contrast, that trust means embracing the idea, or at least accepting the idea of, I don't know. Yes. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this will unfold. And I'm still going to keep moving.
Yes. And that, to me, is the biggest part of trust, is that feeling. I'm trying to think of, you said it really well, is just being in a space of, it's all working out for me. It's a perspective. I know that I can interact in my environment and respond to whatever shows up in my environment. I know that I can have a desire, that I can have something that I want to create, and that I can focus myself into that and begin to build momentum. And the trust comes because I don't need to know how I'm getting there. I don't need to know how it's going to unfold. That's right. The control mechanism. I just know that it's going to happen. So that intention creates this bond, creates this connection to me and the destination in a way that I can simply ride the ride. It doesn't mean I don't do things. It doesn't mean I don't take action. It doesn't mean there aren't steps along the way. But it's more, but that's all natural to the process. It's not, I'm not contriving a step. I'm inspired to a step. I'm not making up what to do. I'm listening for what to do. Listening from in here, from in the heart space, from that connected space. So those are all the things that I find that add to the element of trust and add to the expansion of that experience. Yeah. I don't know if I went way off the rails there. I kind of got lost in my own little thing there. Sorry.
We will just trust that.
Trust is taking us to the next place.
Yes.
So funny. So let's kind of focus into, so in this idea of trusting myself, what are things that would undermine, in a classic sense, what would undermine trust? What are we taught in our world are things that undermine trust?
I think one of them is when things don't work out as we want, when we're hurting, there's pain.
What about things like honesty, reliability, responsibility?
How those undermine trust?
Yeah. That if we're not honest, it's hard to trust.
I see. If
we're not reliable, we're hard to trust, or we tend not to trust.
Right.
If we're not responsible, we tend not to want to trust.
Right.
Particularly.
I was thinking more along the lines of, if I am trusting, what breaks that? So it's if things don't work out, if.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. But
no, those are good. And that's good too.
Yeah.
But so these things in a real world kind of context, I was thinking in terms of that, like when somebody says, I don't trust you, or, you know, you've broken my trust, what are the things that usually occur around that, or activities that occur? That's I still think the inner worlds and the outer worlds are very reflective. I mean, I don't see how that changes. So if I create a circumstance in which someone doesn't trust me, that is a reflection of my lack of trust in myself. Because how could I not be trusted if I'm showing up and I'm showing up?
Well, how about if we use a real concrete and a common example of someone in a committed relationship has an affair?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you apply what you just said to that?
So there's so many parts and pieces to this. Okay, so we have to consider from the get-go that the event was the end, not the beginning.
Yeah.
So the lack of trust in that experience goes in a lot of different directions. When it happens, of course, the immediate response is a lack of trust of the partner who cheated.
Right.
But in my world, I kind of see that as a deflection of the realization that I wasn't paying attention. Because energetically, there had to be changes. There had to be adjustments that you did not pay attention to over time. And could be a great deal of time that you were not attentive to that led to? Does it mean that that person's choice is a good choice or is not a bad choice? No, it's a choice. But that is not the relevance of this conversation, I think. It's not about good, bad, or right or wrong. It's about where does the trust go? When we create an identity, and this is how loss ties into this as well. When we create our identity on someone else, or we create our identity in something else, our identity is our marriage, our identity is our husband or wife, we set up a situation where, one, we lose trust in ourselves because we're too afraid of what we might lose in the circumstance. And so we stop trusting ourselves and put our trust in the relationship because we haven't built that level in ourselves for some reason. And this is where I say this gets a little hairy, because it's not about blaming the victim, so to speak, but if you are the victim, how did you get there? right? So something had to happen. Some piece of trust had to fall off because you were not being attentive to what you could feel and experience in your environment. And too much attachment to your version of what it is instead of what it is.
So the place, the way I'm understanding what you're saying is, the place trust initially gets broken, or within the individual where it gets broken, is trust of self to say, look at what's going on. I'm seeing these behaviors. I'm getting these signals. I'm feeling this energy, and I'm going to ignore it or make up a story that kind of washes it away. Yeah. So in that process, it has little to do with the other person.
Right.
If I do that, then I am, I'm breaking my own trust.
Yeah. Yes, because you're giving power to something outside of yourself that you believe has more, that you believe is more important to your identity than what you are experiencing. So what I mean by that, especially it happens a lot in relationship, is we lose our individual identity, meaning, I gotta think of a better way to describe this, because I'll use my relationship as an example. In the context of this relationship, we love each other deeply, we're deeply connected. But one of the conversations that we can have sometimes is a frustration where Mike might put more on me for permission about things in the relationship. He won't take a step because he doesn't know how I'm going to respond, or doesn't know what I might say, or wants me to make the decision. That to me is a trust process a little bit. And part of how I have to reinforce the trust is not making those decisions, but reinforcing his ability to make decisions. In the context of relationship, my identity is not tied to who he is. My identity is tied to who I am, and I am sharing that, and as he is sharing his. And of course, it gets mired and weird sometimes, but you have to really be conscious continually of who you are in the context, because what brought you together was the who you are and who they are. There was an energy connection there that said, this is going to be enhancing us both. This is a good thing, potentially. Let's get together and see how we can support each other to be even better, be even more, be even greater than, you know. And that's not all conscious stuff, but I think that's all that feeling that comes, and that anticipation is that energy that's stimulating the potential and the possibilities.
Yes.
And so dialing into being able to stay in your identity, trusting who you are, it doesn't mean that you aren't going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you're not going to, you know, put your foot in it periodically. But when you know who you are, you can stop and acknowledge that you just put your foot in it and go, oh, I really didn't want to put my foot that way. I'll give you an example. I had, we had a, a conversation yesterday about, I'm heading on a trip later this morning and we were deciding which way to go. I was deciding which way I wanted to go with some friends, one direction to camp or with some friends another direction to stay in a hotel. And we're going on a mountain bike adventure for 3 days. And I was back and forth and back and forth. Anyway, I'd asked Michael as we were driving, we had woken up and we were getting ready to go. And he was not quite awake, but I asked him if he would book my room because I decided I should probably get the room and I was driving. So would you mind taking care of it? Because he had the app and he had the credit and all that good stuff. And it turned into this like ridiculous mechanical process that just wouldn't end. He couldn't get the phone to work right. He couldn't get this to work right. And he kept pissing and moaning about it and frustrated about it. And then I'm getting frustrated because it's like, how hard is it to make a reservation? And I can't get it. And this went on for an hour, just nonstop, an hour of this crazy. And I'm just getting less and less impatient. And I'm like, dude, do you realize this goes on every single time you do something like this for me? And I'm not saying it as a judgment, but I'm presenting my observation because I don't get it. Why does this happen? And then he started to feel blamed. And I'm like, no, I'm not blaming you. And then I took the dog for a walk. And as I'm walking, I have this epiphany of, oh, Jim, you did it again. You know, when Michael wakes up, he's not human for an hour, at least. He can't function. He doesn't think. He needs his coffee. He needs his time to get his brain together. And the same thing happens if he comes home from work. He needs a good hour to defrag before I can jump in to go somewhere with him. And I forget that. And so I'm in my head, you know, I'm in my day doing my thing. He comes home and I'm like, boom, here's the stuff we want to talk about. And he goes, you know, and tries to stick with me, but his energy is nowhere near it. But the point of it is, in the end, I immediately picked up the phone as I was hiking and I'm like, Siri, call Michael. And I'm like, Mike, hey, I just want to tell you, I just want to apologize. I just realized I'm really not trying to blame you about this stuff. But what I realized is that I keep asking you for this stuff when you're not prepared to show up for it because you just woke up. And I know that. So I apologize because I'm not being thoughtful about the fact that I know that's how things are for you. And then I'm getting frustrated because the result is not turning out the way I think it should. Change what you're doing, right? So again, trusting the process, trusting yourself is like saying, I can take responsibility for this. I can own this because I'm not afraid of it. It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to kill me. It's not going to destroy me. It's not going to end my relationship. It's something I need to pay attention to. And how can I attend to this that builds even further trust, not only with me, but with my partner? Beautiful. Because now I've stepped into a place of trust and gone, oh, wow, what did I do here, you silly person? And I didn't judge me for it. I just went, ugh, dingbat, could have had a V8. Does that kind of make sense to where I'm going?
It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a great example. And in that, there's also the idea of what I would call discernment.
Hmm.
So you came to this clarity about, wait, he's not human for the first hour. Why am I asking him to do this? Obviously, it's not going to work. You could have arguably made up a story of, he just doesn't want to do things for me, or he's this or he's that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was going on too. That was part of the frustration earlier in my head was going, why does he do this all the time? And looking to make up a story. It was definitely there.
Right. So I'm not sure if this is part, I'm not sure how this fits in trust, but the idea is, so you have this story going on, mm-hmm, of he's not willing to help me and whatever that's about. And then this other explanation of, oh, he's not awake. There's no bad intention or malice. It's
right.
It's on me to recognize that. So you could have gone either direction.
You want to know what the difference was?
And quote unquote, trusted either one.
No, I couldn't have. One was energy up. One was energy down. Seriously, it's that simple. When I was having that spin, there's no positive outcome in that spin. There's no positive outcome in which I blame Michael for anything in that situation because I have to make up a story to make him wrong.
Yeah.
right? I have to come up with some version of whatever I think reality is. And none of that feels good. I don't care who I am.
I love that. Energy up, energy down, which you say a lot.
Yeah. And so there I am on the mountain having this moment of, and that was literally what happened when the thought went through. I was walking, me and Tucker tooling along, and I'm contemplating this. And all of a sudden the thought was, Jimmy wasn't awake yet. And I went, oh my gosh. And then the whole thing unfolded and my energy was going, wee, 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 you know? And then I immediately, I stayed with it for another minute to make sure it was stable, you know, like it wasn't some weird aberration, and it just got better. And I went, oh, I got to call Michael. Bang, called him immediately. Right. I got to share this energy with you because you are not the problem. Please do not leave yourself in the position of being the problem, because I knew that's where he was, regardless of how many times I'd said, I swear to you, I'm not trying to blame you. He was feeling blamed. But understand that he was feeling blamed because he knows it happens too.
Right.
He just doesn't know why. So right. he can't come up with a good reason. He just is like, I don't know what to do with this.
Right.
And I feel picked on.
Got it.
Energy spun. I went, oh, solution. Boom. All the energy goes away instantly. Instantly. On his end and my end, the energy is gone.
Beautiful.
You know,
I know we're getting to the last couple minutes.
Yeah.
We can, I think that's a great skill for listeners and viewers in a way to discern what's going on and know, what should I trust? Should I trust this story, this version, or this version? This is energy down. This is energy up. I'll trust the energy up.
Always. And in my world, you and I have had many of these conversations where I will not step in because I can't find energy up.
Yeah.
I'm saying it a little differently. In our conversations, I can't find a resolution that's win-win. Same difference.
Yeah.
I can't find the end result that feels like the right end result. See, and the right end result in the situation doesn't necessarily mean I'm right. It doesn't mean that my viewpoint is correct, but I'm also not attached to it. So I don't care. I want resolution.
Right.
Right. And yep. So when it shows up and my energy spins up, I'm like, oh, this was me. Oh, okay. I can handle this. I can't handle him because I don't control him. I trust him to handle him. And he does. He's been very clear about it. For years, he's been very clear about it. Please don't do that when I wake up from a nap. Please don't do that when I get up in the morning. Please don't talk. Don't come at me with stuff when I just come, you know, when I'm just getting conscious again.
Yeah. That means trust means no judgment.
Absolutely. Has to. And that's the other reason that I won't go the other direction, because that other direction is nothing but judgment one, judgment two, judgment three, judgment four, all woven into a lovely story that probably has very good spiritual overtones and probably sounds really right on. But when I say it in my own head, it feels like I just took a shit somewhere. Not a good thing. So, you know, but I think that's, you know, building and cultivating trust, that's an amazing tool. I really, truly live in that space of energy up, energy down. So if you can train yourself to that experience, it will make a vastly big difference in your world, because you'll not engage when the energy is down. And sometimes that energy down thing is a bear.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't feel good. You and I have talked, and I've used the example of some issues with friends that you know, I've gone round and round, and I've finally gotten to a much greater place about it. But it's taken, this situation has taken a month or better of continuing to find the energy up process in this.
Yep.
Because all I keep finding is energy down. Right. I'm like, I don't like living here. I need another place to be. you know, but I still, you know, still persist, because ultimately I trust this. I trust yes. me. I trust my connection. I trust my alignment. There's so many places we could go to this. And yes, we are at time.
Yes.
What an amazing conversation. And we definitely have to carry this one on, because this has been a doozy. I appreciate you always, Moshe. I love having you here. I love us getting to have these conversations. It's a joy and a blast. And I appreciate your friendship very much.
Same here. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. See you again soon. You guys have a great one. And we'll see you on the next show. We'll be, yeah, very soon. I'm going to go to the end now. You know, it's just that kind of morning. Have a great one, y'all. See you soon. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.